Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldhar and the Masechet Mod Kadin Daf Base. The first parak Mashkin Beis Hashlachim. The first parak has been generously sponsored Liyud Nishmas with Menachem Mendelman of Yosef Yitzchak Isaac Cohn, as well as Liyud Nishmas of Bachar Yosef Yitzchak Isaac Ben Menachem Mendel Cohn. I want to welcome all our new members who've joined us from Masechet Mod Kadin and wish everybody continued Hatzlacha as we now begin the 12th Masechet in this Machzor of Daf Yomi. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Mashkin beis hashlachim b'mod u'b'shviz. One may water an irrigated field during Chol HaMoed and during Shviz, b'mamayan sheyatz b'tchila, b'mamayan shelo yatz b'tchila, whether from a new spring that has just begun to flow or from a spring that has not just begun to flow. Rashi explains that the field is on a mountain and needs to be irrigated constantly to avoid a hefsed gadol, a large financial loss. Therefore, it's permitted to water the field in Chol HaMoed because the rabbis permitted malacha on Chol HaMoed to prevent financial loss. As the pasuk states, Sheshes yamin tocho matzas, ubi yom shvi atzeres l'Hashem al kecho. 6 days you shall eat matzas, and the seventh day is an atzeres, a cessation to Hashem, your God. We learn from here that just as on the seventh day of Pesach, there is a cessation of malacha, so too, on the 6 days of Pesach, there is a cessation of malacha. Now, one might think that just as on the seventh day, there is a complete cessation of malacha, the same should apply to the 6 days. Therefore, the Torah teaches Hashvi, the seventh day, to teach that it's only the seventh day when there's a complete cessation. In regards to the other 6 days, the pasuk is giving the chachamim the authority to determine which malach is forbidden and which is not. And they determined that malach is permitted in the case of financial loss. Point number two, the Gemara asks who the Tana of our Mishnah is that holds depsei de'in harvacha lo. That one may do malach to prevent a financial loss, but may not do malach for the sake of profit, such as in the case of a field that can survive from rainwater alone and is only watered to improve its yield. And who also holds, afil b'makam seda mitrach nami lo tarchinan. And even when there is a financial loss, we do not permit malacha if it involves excessive exertion. Rapapa said it's Rabbi Yehuda, for it was taught in a braisa. Rabbi Meir holds that one may water even a stei beis haba, a rainwatered field from a newly emerging spring, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein mashkin el stei beis hashlachin shecharva. One may only irrigate an irrigated field that dried up, which Abai explains means that it dried up from one spring, and another spring emerged from which it can be watered, and one may not clean out an irrigation canal from his garden and ruin on Chol HaMoed. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda does not permit watering a stei habal for the sake of profit, and he prohibits cleaning out the canal because of Tircha Yisera. And point number three, was stated, HaMenachesh v'hamashkim maim v'zroim b'Shabbos, one who weeds and one who waters seeds on Shabbos, for which malacha do we warn him? Rabbi said, Mishum Choresh, for plowing, and Rabbi Yosef said, Mishum Zoreah, for sowing. Rabbi said that his opinion is more reasonable, for just as plowing is done in order to soften the earth, so too is weeding and watering meant to soften the earth. Rabbi Yosef said that his opinion is more reasonable, for just as sowing is meant to make things grow, so too weeding and watering helps produce grow. The Gemara analyzes both opinions. So once again, the 3 points are number one, the opening mishnah of the Masechta states, Mashkin beis hashlachim b'mod u'b'shviz. One may water an irrigated field during Chol HaMoed and during Shviz, b'mamayan sheyatz b'tchila, b'mamayan shelo yatz b'tchila. Whether from a new spring that has just begun to flow or from a spring that has not just begun to flow. Rashi explains that the field is on a mountain and needs to be irrigated constantly to avoid a hefsed gadol, a large financial loss. Therefore, it's permitted to water the field in Chol HaMoed because the rabbis permitted malacha in Chol HaMoed to prevent financial loss. As the pasuk states, Sheshes yamin tocho matzos, b'yom shvi atzeres l'Hashem al kecho. 6 days you shall eat matzos, and the seventh day is an atzeres, a cessation to Hashem your God. We learn from here that just as on the seventh day of Pesach, there's a cessation of malachas, so too on the 6 days of Pesach, there's a cessation of malacha. Now one might think that just as on the seventh day, there's a complete cessation of malacha, the same should apply to the 6 days. Therefore, the Torah teaches Hashvi, the seventh day, to teach that it's only the seventh day when there's a complete cessation. In regards to the other 6 days, the pasuk is giving the chachamim the authority to determine which malach is forbidden and which is not. And they determine that malach is permitted in the case of financial loss. Point number two, the Gemara asks who the Tana of our Mishnah is that holds the psei de'in harvacha lo, that one may do malach to prevent a financial loss, but may not do malach for the sake of profit, such as in the case of a field that can survive from rainwater alone and is only watered to improve its yield, and who also holds afil b'makam seda mitrach nami lo tarchinen. Even when there is a financial loss, we do not permit malacha if it involves excessive exertion. Rav Papa said it's Rabbi Yehuda, for it was taught in a braisa. Rav Meir holds that one may water even a stei beis habal, a rain-watered field, from a newly emerging spring, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein mashkin el stei beis hashlachin shecharva. one may only irrigate an irrigated field that dried up, which Abai explains that it means it dried up from one spring and another spring emerged from which it can be watered, and one may not clean out an irrigation canal from his garden or ruin on Chol HaMoed. So we see from here that Reb Yehuda does not permit watering a stay base habal for the sake of profit, and he prohibits cleaning out the canal because of Tircha Yisera. And point number three, we stated, HaMenachav Shva HaMashka Mayim Lazorim B'Shabbos, one who weeds and one who waters seeds on Shabbos, for which malachah do we warn him? Rabba said, Mishim Choresh, for plowing, and Rabbi Yosef said, Mishim Zorea, for sowing. Rabba said that his opinion is more reasonable, for just as plowing is done in order to soften the earth, so too is weeding and watering meant to soften the earth. Rabbi Yosef said that his opinion is more reasonable, for just as sowing is meant to make things grow, so too weeding and watering helps produce grow. The Gemara analyzes both opinions. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Beis, and our standard Siman is a bayis, is a house. So here goes. The Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, watching the farmer irrigate his fields from a spring to prevent financial loss, refused his request to draw him some water from the well because it was a Tircha Yisera, and continue debating which malach is violated when one weeds or waters seeds on Shabbos. So once again, it's a motion. The Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, that must be on Daf Beis, house. The Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, watching the farmer irrigate his fields from a spring to prevent financial loss, which reminds us, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Mashkin Beis HaShlachim B'Mod U'B'Shviz, one may water an irrigated field during Chol HaMoed and during Shviz, whether from a Mayan that has just begun to flow or from a Mayan that has not just begun to flow. Rashi explains that the field is on a mountain and needs to be irrigated constantly to avoid a Hefsed Gadol, a large financial loss. Rashi brings a pasuk which gives the Chachamim the authority to determine which malacha is forbidden and which is not on Chol HaMoed, and they determine that malacha is permitted in the case of financial loss. So the Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, watching the farmer irrigate his fields from a spring to prevent financial loss, refused his request to draw him some water from the well because it was a Tircha Yisera. Which reminds us, the Gemara determines that the Tan of our Mishnah, who holds the Psei De'in Harvacha Lo, that one may do malacha to prevent a financial loss, but may not do malacha for the sake of a profit, and that holds Afil B'Makom Seda Mitrach Nami Lo Tarchinan, even when there is a financial loss, we do not permit malacha if it involves excessive exertion, is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, watching the farmer irrigate his fields from a spring to prevent financial loss, refused his request to draw him some water from the well because it was a Tircha Yisera, and continued debating which malacha is violated when one weeds or waters seeds on Shabbos. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes regarding which malacha one has transgressed when he weeds or waters seeds on Shabbos. Rabbi said, Mishim Choresh, for plowing, for just as plowing is done in order to soften the earth, so too is weeding and watering meant to soften the earth. Rav Yosef said, Mishum Zorei, that he's chayav for sowing, for just as sowing is meant to make things grow, so too weeding and watering helps produce grow. So once again, the Bachrim staying at the Chol HaMoed farmhouse, watching the farmer irrigate his fields from a spring to prevent financial loss, refused his request to draw him some water from the well because it was a Tircha Yisera, and continued debating which malacha is violated when one weeds or waters seeds on Shabbos. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Chavtes. So the Siman Daf Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The thousands of people were mavatal Talmud Torah to escort the deceased Talmud Chacham carried out on a cot. Cot? That must be one Daf Chavtes. The thousands of people were mavatal Talmud Torah to escort the deceased Talmud Chacham carried out on a cot. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice were mavatal Talmud Torah to carry the dead out to burial and for Haknas's Kala, unless there are a sufficient number of people. The Gemara brings a number of opinions of what's regarded as a sufficient number to escort a deceased Talmud Chacham, one being that it's 12,000 men and 6,000 men with shofars for a total of 18,000 people. So the thousands of people were mavatal Talmud Torah to escort the deceased Talmud Chacham carried out on a cot. We're astonished when the shul down the street start to fly towards Eretz Yisrael, which reminds us, the pasuk states, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel regarding the galus, V'yilehem l'mikdash mat, I have been for them a miniature mikdash, and Rabbi Yitzhak said, Elu bati kinesius and bati midrashas shebabavo. This refers to the shuls in bati midrashim in Bavo, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar said. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar said that in the future, the shuls in bati midrashim of Bavo will be set in Eretz Yisrael. So the thousands of people mevatel Talmud Torah to escort the deceased Talmud Chacham carried out on a cot. We're astonished when the shul down the street started to fly towards Eretz Yisrael, just as that zebra was in the middle of reading Parshas Shkalim, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shekhal Yisbet Shabbos, Korin B'Parshas Shkalim. On Rosh Chodesh Adar that falls on Shabbos, we read the Parsha of Shkalim. Rashi explains that it was read to announce to the people that they should bring their Shkalim in Adar in order that the offerings were brought in Nisan from the new donations. Rav said Parshas Shkalim is the Parsha that deals with the Tamid and Musaf offerings, and Shmuel said it's the Parsha discussing the Maksa Zeshekel that begins, Kisisa, when you count. Daf Lamed, so the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe, so here goes. The idea is Claudius Rebbe. That must be learned off Lamed, Mohammed. The idea is Claudius Rebbe, who is trying to teach his confused Talmidim when to read Parshas Shkalim if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Erev Shabbos, which reminds us as a Malchogs when to read Parshas Shkalim if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Erev Shabbos. Rav says, Makdimim, we advance the reading to the previous Shabbos because if it's delayed, the number of days between the Basin's proclamation about the Maksa Shekel and the money changer's arrival in the provinces is reduced. Shmuel says, Ma'achrim, we delay the reading to the Shabbos following Rosh Chodesh, because when Rosh Chodesh is Erev Shabbos, the 15th comes out as Erev Shabbos, which means that the money changers will not go out until Sunday. Therefore, it's better to delay the reading so there won't be an interruption between the reading of Parsha Shkalim and the reading of Parsha Zachor. So, the idea is Kolyas Rebbe, who is trying to teach his confused Talmidim when to read Parsha Shkalim if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Erev Shabbos, as opposed to when to read Parsha Zachor, if Purim is Erev Shabbos, which reminds the Gemara brings some halachos regarding when Parsha Zachor is read, when Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos. Rav said, Makdim and Parsha Zachor, we advance the reading to the previous Shabbos, which would be the 8th of Adar, so the Zechira comes before the Asiyah. But Shmuel says, Ma'achrim, delay the reading to Shabbos, which is the 15th. Since the walled cities observe Purim the following Shabbos, the Zechira and the Asiyah happen at the same time. So, the idea is Claudius Rebbe was trying to teach his confused Talmidim when to read Parsha Shkalim if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Erev Shabbos, as opposed to when to read Parsha Zachor if Purim is Erev Shabbos, couldn't wait to get back to the regular order of Parshios on the 5th Shabbos of Adar, which reminds us that the Mishnah stated, B'chamishis chosin l'kesedron, on the 5th Shabbos of Adar, we resume the regular order. And the Gemara asks, which order of the service was interrupted that's now resumed? Rabbi Yami said, L'seder Parshios hu chozer, one resumes the regular reading of the weekly Parsha. According to Rabbi Yami, only the special readings were read on the 4th Shabbos and before Purim. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, L'seder Haftaros hu chozer, one resumes the regular readings of the Haftorah. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the weekly Torah portions were read during the preceding 4 weeks, and the special readings were read as maftir. Daf Lamed Aleph, so the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is a judge. So here goes. The powerful judge, that must be one Daf Lamed Aleph, law. The powerful judge who would bow his head in humility whenever anyone referred to him as your honor, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said, every place you find mention of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Gevura, you find mention of his humility, and this is evident in Psukim, in Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim. So the powerful judge who would bow his head in humility whenever anyone referred to him as your honor encouraged the defendants to learn the Parsha of Karbanos to attain a kapara, which reminds us that the Mishnah said that the Yisroelim that were part of the Mishmar that were not located in Yerushalayim would gather in their towns and read from Maisa Breishis. The Gemara asks what the connection is between the Ma'amados and Maisa Breishis. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha said, and the Niravasi, Yomali Ma'amados and his Kaim Yerushalayim Ma'aretz, if not for the Ma'amados, referring to the Karbanos the Ma'amados represent, heaven and earth would not continue to exist. The Gemara teaches that when Avraham Avinu asked B'ma'idah, he was asking, tell me what I must teach my descendants that will help them attain kapara for their sins and survive even when there are no Karbanos. And Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him that he will consider our learning the Parsha of Karbanos as if we had brought them. So the powerful judge who would bow his head in humility whenever anyone referred to him as your honor encouraged the defendants to learn the Parsha of Karbanos to attain a kapara and made sure to finish the most cursed cases before the end of the year, which reminds us that Ezra was matakim b'Yisrael that they should read the curses in Vayikra before Shavuos and those of Doran before Rosh Hashanah. Abai and some say Reish Lakish explain k'dei shetichu hashana v'chilo haseah, in order that the year end together with its curses. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in the lab. So here goes. The mad scientist who conducted Torah readings in his lab. Mad scientist in a lab? That must be one of Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist who conducted Torah readings in his lab to see if people having aliyahs could recite the brachas with the Sefer Torah roll closed, which reminds us of Malchokas Rabbi Meir Rebuta whether one needs to close the Sefer Torah before reciting Birkas HaTorah. Rabbi Meir says he does, for one might come to think that the brachas are written in the Sefer Torah if the Torah remains open, just like people might think that the Targum is written in the Torah if the Baal Korah was permitted to help the Metargim, the translator, and they might come to write the Targum in it. Rabbi Yehuda says he does not because everybody knows that the brachas are not written in the Torah. So the mad scientist who conducted Torah readings in his lab to see if people having aliyahs could recite the brachas with a Sefer Torah roll closed gave Galila to the most prominent person in the room, which reminds us Galila is given to the most prominent member to Minyan, and he's makabel the schar keneged the schar of all the other participants. So the mad scientist who conducted Torah readings in his lab to see if people having aliyahs could recite the brachas with the Sefer Torah roll closed gave Galila to the most prominent person in the room, handing him his newly invented Galila gloves so he wouldn't touch the Torah with his bare hands. Which reminds us, Rabbi Parnach said in the Rabbi Yochanan Kol Ocha Sefer Torah Arum Nikba Arum, anyone who grasps the Sefer Torah with his bare hands will be buried bare, which Abai explains means Nikba Arum below Osa Mitzvah. He'll be buried bare without that mitzvah. Tosis explains that if you grasp the Torah during Kriyas Torah, he would not receive the schar for his aliyah, and if he grasped it while rolling the Torah, he would not receive schar for a Galila. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.